Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Patty Vasquez takes over at 11 with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Well, the Book Expo is here in Chicago, and that means tons of authors descend on McCormick Place to sit at booths, sign autographs, and try to woo booksellers and other businesses to sell their wares. One of the big categories at the BEA has to be YA. Young Adult has arrived, continues to be the big sellers in books, helping the industry stay afloat with bringing in teenage readers. Stars like John Green and Veronica Roth help pave the way, their success, commercial success as well in movies. But tonight in studio, we have some of the best YA authors working today, thanks to Betsy Bird. Betsy, of course, is a collection development manager at the Evanston Public Library and a frequent guest with us here on The Download. Great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this is a big week for you. I mean, this is the BEA. This is prime time. This is your conference.
It is. This is the fun time.
What makes it special? What's great about the BEA?
You know, the thing about BEA that's a little different from maybe some of the other book conferences is it's really focuses on the booksellers, actually, mostly. But they've sort of opened it up. Librarians can come in as well. And
good. Otherwise,
I'm out.
You'd be knocking on the door.
Yeah,
right?
I'm
be
like, let me in. There's cool people inside. But no, they have. I mean, you get to see just an amazing amount of authors, and honestly, more books than the other conferences. You know, American Library Association, they're okay with the books, but this is where they're practically just like forcing the books down your throat. Just like, take the books. If we don't want to send them back, take the books. So you get a lot of books.
That's good. Okay, well, you know, you're riding shotgun tonight. You've brought friends, some of the best authors working today. Owen Colfer, the man behind the best-selling series Artemis Fowl. He's a former school teacher. He's had huge success with this series, but he's written so much more, including new Iron Man novel, which is going to be out in October. Mr. Colfer, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for the respect of the Mr.
I like to start that. Also,
sir, I like sir as well. Master, Lord.
How about Mr. and Mrs. Shannon and Dean Hale? Their series is Princess in Black. Shannon has been awarded the Newbery Prize. Their husband and wife team working on a Captain Marvel novel and also a Squirrel Girl novel, both for Marvel. Mr. and Mrs. Hale, great to have you here as well.
We get Mr. and Mrs. too.
I know, it's so nice.
I'm jealous though,
because Owen gets an accent. Can we have an accent too?
Yes.
What really accent? Fake
what
accent.
What are you talking about?
Do you know that? It's totally a fake Irish accent. He pretends to be from Ireland.
I actually talk like Kevin.
He's from Cincinnati.
Kevin Costner, that's my actual accent.
Well, let me start with you guys. You know, the BEA, I mean, how important is it to be able as authors to come to a conference like the BEA?
BEA is the big event every year. It's the biggest book show of the year. And for me, selfishly, it's as a writer, you know, it's a solitary profession. You write alone in your room. And so it's a big reunion. You just get to see all your author friends and all your publishing friends. And it's an opportunity to talk about whatever books are going to be really big in the upcoming months. So it's an honor to be at BEA. I think this might be my 10th year or so.
I think this is only my second year.
Yeah.
First invited.
How do my coattails feel, baby?
Awesome. Comfortable.
Okay, let's. I don't like how this is
going. How about you? I mean, what's it like coming to the BEA?
Well, I'm not much of a businessman, and so for me, it's just like Shannon said. I just want to see my friends, and so. But unlike the guys, I'm away. I travel away from my family, my kids, and that's one of the reasons I come. No, that's not true. So I get to see my publishers, my editors, my friends, my other writers, and we have a great dinner every year with Disney, so Disney Hyperion. So I don't really think about selling books. I just think about having fun because I'm shallow that way.
You know, I mentioned at the top, I mean, the YA industry is pretty hot, and it has been for a couple years now. But there is, you mentioned the camaraderie coming to see other authors and publishers who are involved. I mean, how tight-knit is the group of authors that write in this genre?
I think it's fairly tight. I write some adult books too, and I have friends who write in the adult market, and it doesn't compare to the children and young adult book market. It's just there's not a jealous competitive spirit. It's very supportive. We're all on the same side, so it's just everybody's so funny. Everybody's so smart and funny.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And
except
so everybody's trying to one-up each other. Yeah.
Except for that one guy.
Oh, yeah, no.
We know
he's so boring. I thought he'd never stop talking.
He should be an adult publishing. Really.
But he had a really nice accent, that's so that correct. Helped.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. I know who you're talking about. It's that Scottish guy.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah. The Scottish guy.
That's the one.
You know, for everybody at the table, Betsy included, I mean, this is sort of, I mean, am I want to make sure I'm characterizing it right. When I say YA, because there's also children's authors and audiences, and there's also adult audiences. But for YA in particular, I mean, it's interesting because I've known some YA writers who've really been trying to get into the work and have been successful with it in the last decade. I mean, are we at the point where now this is almost the engine that is driving the publishing business? I mean, more and more people are getting into it, and more success based on the movies, the Divergent series. I mean, does it feel like the YA authors and that genre is sort of moving the industry?
Well, I usually get asked, because I write for little kids as well, I usually get asked questions like, do you like snowmen? So this is a really hard question for me.
That's a hard question,
to think
too.
About.
Do you like snowmen?
I hate snowmen. Those creepy little, like that guy standing outside the window right now, looking in. He's like a creepy snowman in a red sweater. So, but I think just like maybe 10 years ago or whatever, 15 years ago, Harry Potter exploded the young kid market. I think the YA market is the one that's kind of blowing up right now. Yeah. So how long that will last, I don't know, but long may it last, I suppose.
Yeah. I think they get kind of lumped together, too. I mean, there's like the picture book and early chapter book market, which are children's. And then there's young adult is considered really 14 and up. Mm-hmm. And then there's middle grade, which is really 8 to 12-year-old. Right. And often middle grade and young adult get kind of lumped together. But yeah, they're both doing extremely well. Booksellers say that that they're really the reason they don't buy a lot of e-books in middle grade and young adult. So they're keeping bookstores alive, and bookstores are so important. We want to keep them alive for sure.
Betsy, what does it, I mean, when you hear that, I mean, the idea, I mean, from your vantage point in the library, are you seeing more people coming in, you know, trying to get YA novels, trying to sort of find different titles in the library?
Sure, to a certain extent. I mean, this is sort of things, something kind of comes in waves, you know. About 20 years ago, picture books were super hot, and then Harry Potter came out, and those middle grade readers, you know, came into it. Then came Hunger Games and Twilight and all that, and they all became teenagers. And then suddenly the publishers thought that a new adult, we have to hold on to these readers. So they created a new adult genre. Now we have a ton of adults reading YA fiction. Eventually those people will start having children, and suddenly picture books will be the hottest thing in the entire world again. So it's all cyclical. It all comes around. But yeah, no, picture books, YA, everything's actually doing really well right now.
Well, I think that 60% of the people who buy young adult books are adults buying for themselves.
It's
so
true.
We'd say young adult, and really what that means is that the story is centered around a teenager or teenagers, but really it's not limited to just teens reading it.
All right, so we had a lot to talk about. Let's take a quick break. Shannon and Dean Hale in studio, Owen Colfer, Betsy Bird. We're talking YA titles. We'll talk more. The book expo's in town. We'll continue the conversation. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, we've got a slew of talent, including my co-host tonight, Betsy Bird. I say from the Evanston Public Library collection development.
You got it so far.
Strategy manager.
That's it.
Of
That's
collections,
it.
Yep. Curator of collections.
Solid.
Betsy and has brought a couple of people in studio with from the book expo. Owen Colfer, who's the man behind the best-selling series Artemis Fowl, which is tremendously successful. He's also penning a new Iron Man novel, which we'll talk about, which will be out in October. Shannon and Dean Hale, their series Princess in Black. Great. And they're doing a Captain Marvel novel and Squirrel Girl, both for Marvel. Thanks again for being in studio. Let me ask you, I mean, you know, let's talk about the Marvel stuff. And I know, and you've had some success, and you've done this before with Hitchhiker's Guide and other things, but you know, talk about the difference between writing your own stories and being approached by a big studio like Marvel. I mean, Marvel usually does comic books, and they're branching out a little bit past comic books to novels to sort of draw out these characters, Iron Man, Captain Marvel. I mean, what's it like for you to balance the idea of writing your own stuff versus writing characters, well-known characters like the Marvel Universe?
It's a lot of fun. So we've done a lot of our own books, and we've done some We wrote four books for Mattel in their Ever After High series. And the difference between writing on your own is, I mean, you're really just writing, you're totally free. You can write whatever you want. But the benefit of writing for something for Marvel is you get to play with these characters that you grew up with. I mean, Squirrel Girl. She's got the proportional strength, agility, and speed of a squirrel. And she's got a giant squirrel tail.
How awesome is that?
I mean,
I would want one.
Why wouldn't you want to write her? And then the sort of the part of the joy of writing in the Marvel Universe is that you get to play with these characters that are really familiar to other people. So we've got parts in the book where a squirrel friend of hers stole a phone out of the Avengers mansion, and so she's got the contact list of the Avengers, and we've got text messages that she writes between her and Iron Man, and
you just have this built-in context that is so fun.
Yeah, one of the last scenes we got to write a scene with Black Widow and Thor. And Thor talks about his obsession with socks,
right.
And you get to kind of add to the whole mythology that you get to, you know, put your little stamp on it, which is fun.
Yeah, and as a lifelong comics nerd, it's just like a dream come true for me.
It's a nerdy dream come true.
Nerdy, do you agree, Owen? What do you think about the concept?
Obviously, as you can see by my sheer physicality, I am no nerd. So I'll have to stop you right there, sir.
Sorry, I
apologize. These two are old hands. Right, that's like freaking me out. I'm on my own, far from my family. I think it's really mean of them to hold hands. But
do
no.
Me, do you want me to hold your hand?
Would you?
Kissy noises?
Quite a lot of more calluses than you would expect. anyway, it is great to be. And what I did was I tried to throw in a lot of things that I knew would be turned down by Marvel. And therefore, I will get the stuff I wanted in under the radar. Mm. For example, in my book, like the Mandarin was having an affair with Tony Stark's mother. I thought they're never gonna let that in. And
right.
So they didn't, but then they let me in, have all the other stuff. So that was a bit sneaky.
I mean, for you, I mean, the Marvel, working Iron Man, I mean, this is kind of old hat for you because you did The Hitchhiker's Guide. Yeah. You've done other sort of... Yeah. franchises. Do you like writing in that way?
I know after Doctor Who I swore never again. I said I'm never doing this again because Doctor Who I took on as an experiment, and the experiment was this: can I write a Doctor Who story having never seen an episode of Doctor Who, Doctor Who, and having no particular affinity for the character? Could I do that? And I thought that was interesting, and it turns out I couldn't. Even though I did. But I got a little bit of backlash. Mm. But with Iron Man, you know, when you're presented with Iron Man, you think, oh my God, this is an amazing character. Everybody in the world knows who he is. So you don't have to spend three chapters setting it up. You can, chapter one, he's in the suit, you know, he's flying through the air straight away. And that's kind of liberating, actually. So I'm sure you guys found the same. Everybody knows Squirrel Girl. Captain
Squirrel
Marvel.
Squirrel Girl is the name on everyone's tongue.
That's right.
I know. Yeah. Squirrel Girl, Captain Marvel. So
she has a movie, right?
Well, it was supposed to be Batman versus Superman versus Squirrel Girl.
Right.
But it was so clear who would win. Yeah. So they took her out because took away the drama.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break so we can get the newscast in here. And then we'll continue the conversation after the news. Owen Colfer, Shannon and Dean Hale, Betsy Bird in studio talking about the book Expo and their latest projects here on The Download. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, a plethora of great talent, and my co-host, Betsy Bird.
Ooh. I like this.
You're not included.
Although I would include you in the talent. That came across wrong.
Wait, what?
I kind of said so much talent in the room and Betsy Bird.
Really? See, I didn't catch it, so you could have gotten away with that if you just kept going.
That's not what I meant. You have a ton of talent. Betsy Bird is
the
collection development specialist
I'm gone.
At Evanston Public Library. She's a regular here on The Download. We've talked about children's books, books here. Always great to have you. And you brought friends.
I did.
Owen Colfer is the man behind the best-selling series Artemis Fowl. He's got the new Iron Man novel, which will be out in October. And Shannon and Dean Hale. Their series, Princess in Black, which you guys have a big day tomorrow on Princess in Black.
Yeah.
They're the husband and wife team that are working on Captain Marvel and Squirrel Girl, both for Marvel. Thanks for being here. I know it's a long night. I'm glad you guys, you know, this was a long day and you guys are here to talk about. I had an author on at 8 o'clock tonight talking about his novel, and he's a former federal prosecutor and he's a TV writer. And he said that it almost becomes... a novel becomes your spec script. You know, he could go in with the same storyline that's in the novel and pitch it in Hollywood to his Hollywood friends, and they'd be like, nah. But he puts it in novel form, and they're like, let's adapt that. That's what we want to do. He said that's how Hollywood is going. Do you guys consider this almost like the first draft of your stories when you're putting stories together, that there are other lives, like, could be done for television, could be done for movies? I mean, you guys have had success in adaptations before.
I think the weird thing about book writers is that we actually really like books and think about that as the end life. Like, it sounds like this guy had other options for his life. Like,
well,
he was a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he wrote for TV.
Some of us have no other
options. No, some of us, this is it. I recently wrote 6 books in a year, and I was kind of burned out. So I was like, I can't stop writing because I'm obsessive, but I want to write something I'm sure will never sell. And so I knew I was either going to be a collection of poetry or a spec script.
Right.
And so I wrote the spec screenplay because I knew it would never sell. Of course, it has not. So I don't blame him for not trying to do that. That's a really stupid idea.
But, I mean, I think his big point is just that stories are stories. Mm-hmm. And story is the generation of any movie, any television show. You know, there are so many more platforms for writers than there were, say, decades ago.
I mean, when I'm writing a book at the beginning of plan, I think, wouldn't it be lovely if someone adapted this? But it's like that dream of winning the lottery. You don't really spend too much time thinking about that. You just like have a little figure of a thought in the beginning, think, ooh, maybe someone will come knocking on my door and pay me 40 million euros or dollars in this country, I believe, to adapt this. But you don't really invest any time in that. Then you have to think about the book. And I think if you write a book with the concrete idea that it's to be a movie, then you're doomed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're doomed, then the book is doomed because that's not how it works.
The story is in part the medium. I mean, you want to pick the best medium for the story. If you've got a story that should be a novel, it should be because that's the absolute best. That's why I think a lot of book-to-movie adaptations just don't work because mm-hmm. they don't always adapt very well. Some do work, and I think the ones that do really kind of reimagine it and say, what's a completely different take on this story?
Yeah.
It's like a variation, like a jazz variation on a theme, rather than having to try and do like the visual cliff notes of the book.
Well, and I mean, in the YA industry, I mean, we've seen Harry Potter successful with the series. You've seen Divergent and the Veronica Ross series. I would even say John Green, to an extent, with his books, are in one voice. They're almost a series style of movie. But there does seem to be a need from Hollywood for stories directed towards a young adult audience.
And I think it's natural for them to go to young adult writers because we're very much thinking about books and stories about teenagers. And I think there's a lot of creative talent. I think young adult has become sort of sexy that way because those books, more than any other children or middle grade, et cetera, are really making these big franchise movies that are making a lot of money. But we really, I don't know, I think most book people, like I was saying, don't really think about the movie aspect mm-hmm. of it. We're really in it for the books, and I think I do, and I think most of us really believe that books change and save lives, and there's nothing like hearing from a kid or a teenager, I hated reading until I read one of your books, and now I love reading. Yeah. And that's like, that's way more exciting than like a book, like a movie option. Much less lucrative. Actually, your movie options, let's just get out of the way.
True.
They don't actually give you that much money.
See, I was going to say, you had a movie.
I did have a movie.
Of relatively success, I might say. It was an adult novel that was adapted. But
yes, it was an independent movie. We premiered at Sundance. It had a limited release. So it was not money lucrative for anybody, but it was definitely a fun experience. But no, it was
success.
I got less money from that than I would from a book.
It was a critical success.
It was a lot of fun. It was called Austenland.
It was a woman
that's obsessed with Jane Austen and Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well done. Congrats.
That was me, Owen. It's been me the whole time.
I didn't know that.
Do you know who I am?
Dean,
do you know who you're sitting next
Dean
to?
Dean didn't tell me anything. You were supposed to prep me, Dean.
Sorry.
Thanks very much.
Let me ask this question. I mean, this is something that Pete and I were talking about a little bit earlier in the show. Just the concept of writing for teenagers.
They're holding hands again. I have to stop. I'm sick of this.
Sorry, it's so unfair.
I've had a contract.
I'll take your hand.
Okay. You've
marked it. Oh, he's kissing me now.
Oh, come on. Dean, I want to kiss now. Get over here.
It's not far away.
It's not pantomime. It's not fake for radio. It's real for radio. I appreciate it. appreciate that.
Writing, it's just being streamed. Somewhere.
It's
being
streamed. We've got four kids at home. This is like a date for
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
so,
we now we know why you've got four kids at home.
This is date night on yep. AM radio. We appreciate it.
This is a kids show.
Trying to relate to a teenage audience, you know, and I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you write successful YA? In the way that, you know, people want to do it, and they've had some texters tonight that are like, oh, I want to get into that. I mean, they're the most successful books that we have seen, series or whatever, they seem to really connect with teenagers. They're not written about teenagers necessarily, but they connect with that audience. What's the secret in relating and writing for a young adult audience?
Don't be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think don't patronize.
Yeah.
Don't think, well, I'm writing for kids now, so it'll be once upon a time. You know, you're
they
writing,
sniff that out.
You're writing for young adults, so just forget the word young and just write for adults. And it's a story that would be maybe appropriate for young adults, but suitable for all adults. And just go with that. It's well, I was a teacher for 15 years, and very often we would have visitors who would come into the classroom to talk to the kids. And they would start off, well, good morning, boys and girls. And today, and these kids are 14. They go, what the hell is this guy talking about? I'm going to get out of my desk and punch this guy in the solar plexus if he doesn't. And you learn very quickly that these, you know, kids are very hard to entertain, and you have to speak to them and respect them and be really funny, not just be kid funny.
Did that help you?
Oh,
being a school teacher,
hugely. Yeah. I realized very early on that you got to speak to these kids as equals. And they love being insulted, for example. They do. Don't boys love to be insulted in a positive way that's like shows up how cool they are, really.
Right.
But if you can master that or manage that, then that's a very valuable tool to have as a teacher. It's totally illegal to do that.
Okay. All the writers in the room, I mean, you have excelled in series. You know, you've created series that, you know, you could have gone with just one book or, you know, tried something different, but you have been able to have success in series, both the Princess in Black and also the Artemis Fowl, both, I mean, successful series. Why do it that way?
I think part of it is just we fall in love with these characters and we just want to keep going with it. I think almost every book I've published, I don't know, over 20 books, and almost every one I think of standing on its own. I don't end in cliffhangers. I want to write a complete story. But then when I'm done, I miss the characters and I want to keep going.
And I think so much about, I mean, there's so much that isn't in the story that I think about. And there's so many bits and pieces that you want, well, I want to tell this story too, even though it doesn't fit in the one that we're writing right now.
A really good idea gives you endless fodder for more ideas. And so you're not going to write a book about something that's so slim that, you know, you run out of ideas. It's like it just keeps generating more.
Very true. And also my wife wanted a house in France, so I had to write another book.
You have a house in France?
No, we had to sell the house in France. It's a scandalous thing. Brad Pitt's involved. I can't really talk about
that. Yeah, you can't go into it.
Right.
No, you're right. If you have these characters and you fall in love with them, and at the end of every book I say, that's it. I'm so sick of these guys. But then 2 months later I go, what if he went to Antarctica? That would be interesting.
Is it limiting in any form? I mean, is it, you know, where you have successful series and people want more?
They always want more. Yeah. No matter how many books you write in a series, they're always, fans of that series are always going to want more. Yeah. But then I don't know, I get bored easily, so I can't make myself write a book that's not interesting to me. So if when I'm done, I'm done and I move on to another character.
When it's over, you know it's over and you feel it's over. I mean, I'm sure
we've known it's over for you for some time.
I know. I don't know what I'm doing.
I've been feeling that for the last 5
just
minutes.
Just like living on my royalties. But I mean, I have kids who come up to me. That was for the callus. I know.
Right. Yeah, there it is. There it was.
I accept that. That's why I'm not retaliating. Because I deserve it. But I mean, I have kids come up to me last year, and Artemis Fowl finished in 2012, and they would say, you know, you ruined my childhood when you finished. You know, it's really, they're really serious about it.
Yeah, right.
You ruined my childhood when you finished that series.
They get so attached.
Well, I've heard that's more common, actually, for kids who go up to authors and be like, if you don't write another book, I will, you know, you'll ruin my life. Like, that's going to really move you. It's like when the kids are like, it's a threat.
Well, it's emotional. But,
I love that they're so invested in the story that the story's still going on in their head. I think, for example, there's, you know, fan fiction where where fans of books will go on to keep. There's so much, for example, Harry Potter fan fiction. You could never run out of Harry Potter stories for the rest of your life by reading what other people have written. And I think that's a really cool thing, that stories inspire these kids and teens to keep writing.
Do you read your own fan fiction?
I never read my own. It's too creepy.
Do you read your own fan fiction?
And I'll tell you why, because you could accidentally have used that idea or something similar, and some person's going to come along in 5 years. I did that in a fan fiction book, and you stole my idea, so I just don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a good thing, you know, and I love kids are doing it, but I just don't really, I can't really read it. I think it's dangerous.
Let me notice that they the story's never over for them unless the character is married and hopefully dead. Like,
that's
like,
when they're okay.
How can you stop? How can you stop writing the Princess Academy books? The main character didn't get married in the last book,
and is still alive,
and is still living. Like I needed to actually have her get married and become a grandma and then die in her sleep.
If she died and then got married, that'd be fantastic.
A lot of options.
Write that down, honey.
Yeah,
that's
write
our
it
next
down.
Book.
You can have that. You can have that.
Really, it's freebie.
This is this is a workshop.
Here's one for you. Artemis Fowl is actually a bird. Go, run with
it. My friends tell me stuff. I have some very bad, nasty men friends.
What if
Artemis Fowl meets this girl in a club? And I'm like, no, stop talking. This is over. Go away. You're not my friend anymore.
Let me ask one last question here. Just about, I have a lot of artist friends who are really get into it. And at the end of the day, they have a hard time selling it. Yeah. Right, they're just not born that, they're not wired that way. As artists, sometimes you really can't, this is not part of your thing. For you guys as writers, how much does that happen? Where you have to put on a different hat, you have to put on a business hat to be able to sort of further the brand that you're working on. I mean, obviously you have people for that, and there's people around, but
we have so many people.
So many
in
people.
My house in France is where I keep my people.
So many people. Yeah. But I mean, has that been an issue for you guys? I mean, the idea of, yes, you wrote these tremendous stories, you've been able to put this out, but at the same time, you have to also be business people and be able to have that acumen to be able to sell those stories.
I probably would have sold more books if I had any business acumen, but I don't. And that's why I don't self-publish. I traditionally publish, because the traditional publishers take care of all of that. They have the sales reps, they have the publicity and marketing. They take care of all those pieces. I am just not, that's not where my brain is. I'm the idea person and the word person.
I remember when you started, you had a hard time when they would tour you.
Oh yeah.
Even talking about your books.
I would never mention my own books.
It feels sort of selfish, and so you talk about other people's
like
books.
At bookstores?
And school assemblies, and my publicist, I was like 5 years into this, she's like, you need to start talking about your own books. People actually want to hear about
it. Yeah, that's hard. Yeah. I would think that's hard. I mean, it's weird to have to talk about yourself in front of people.
I don't have a hard time anymore. My books are awesome.
It's very unusual to find that combination of business brain and artist brain.
Yeah.
And when it does happen, like it's Jay-Z, or Beyonce or someone.
Right.
They become like the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah, I don't slay.
You don't
I don't slay.
I don't know what that means. It's like in my thing, slay is to kill someone. So,
she doesn't do that either.
Okay. You don't. You look like you're not sure. So he totally.
Well, I want to thank you guys all for being here. I know it was a long day here in Chicago at the Book Expo, and I appreciate you guys coming in studio. Owen Colfer is the man behind the best-selling series Artemis Fowl. He's got a new Iron Man novel coming out in October. Shannon and Dean Hale, the husband and wife team, are working on a Captain Marvel and Squirrel Girl, both for Marvel, and they also are behind the series Princess in Black. Betsy Bird, our co-host tonight. Betsy, thanks for coming down, and thanks for bringing these great authors through.
No problem.
I can't wait to have you back, and we'll do this again.
Yeah, we'll do this again.
Thanks, everybody, for being
here.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.